the Pixar relationship or replace its recent contributions to Studio EBITDA, earnings before taxes, interest, and amortization? Gold asked. Disney said the correct Pixar numbers were 45%, 35%, and 29%, respectively. When he finished, Gold asked if there were any questions. There were none. Gold couldn't believe that after an hour and a half, there wasn't a single question. It fell to Tom Staggs to argue that Gold had carefully chosen years calculated to show Disney's results in the worst possible light. No one else spoke, as Eisner sat in stony silence. So Gold called for a vote on his proposed diagnostic review. George Mitchell asked him to withdraw the request, indicating that Tom Staggs would prepare a written response to Gold's presentation and present it to the board in due course. Gold agreed, realizing he lacked the votes to force the issue. Next, Eisner rose and, ignoring Gold's remarks entirely, presented his action plan, a revision of June's five-year plan necessitated by the continuing deterioration in Disney's financial performance. The essence of the plan was two-pronged, that Disney's long-term profitability derived from the strengths of its brands, primarily Disney and, more recently, ESPN, and that after a period of large capital investments, especially in new theme parks, in acquiring the rights to professional sports, and in buying ABC Family, Disney could boost profits by slashing spending and reaping the cash flow from those earlier investments. The key to the plan was protecting the Disney and ESPN brands by building a protective moat around them. At the end of the presentation, Eisner said that in light of all the recent publicity about divisions within the board, it was important that the directors send a public message that Eisner and his management team had the board's full support. He called for a vote of confidence and urged that it be unanimous. At this, Roy made a rare comment in a board meeting. "I couldn't vote for that. You don't have my support," he said. Eisner's face colored in anger. But before he could say anything, Mitchell suggested that Eisner, Iger, and other executive directors leave the room so the board could continue the discussion in executive session. A heated discussion ensued, in which both Roy and Gold reiterated their oppositions to any vote of support for Eisner. Finally, Mitchell suggested that Eisner's recommendation be tabled rather than go forward with a vote that would only formalize the split within the board. Instead, he said he would craft a statement from the board expressing its overwhelming support for Eisner. Eisner and the other executives returned. It fell to Mitchell to break the news that no vote had been taken. But even before he could finish, Eisner spoke in anger. "I can't live with this," he said, glaring at Gold and Roy. He brandished a piece of paper. "They're undermining me, leaking to the press, and this proves it. While we were in this room, I'd been emailed by someone at the LA Times about something we talked about 3 hours ago." He read from what he said was a copy of an email he'd just received from Richard Verrier, a reporter for the LA Times, urging Eisner to give him an interview because, "We'll be talking to the other side." Gold started to deny the accusation, but Eisner plunged on. "Stanley and Roy are trying to get rid of me. They don't think I can run this company. But who do you think can?"